Thank you today in that wonderful name of Jesus. We come rejoicing and looking to you and you alone. God, there's so many needs here, but Lord, you gave each one of them so sweetly to each one of us. Lord, need to come to bow, to bend a knee, and to say, Lord Jesus, I do need you. Lord, I need help. Thank God for mercy and grace. Lord, thank you that we're freely welcome to come. Thank you as the prodigal. Thank God his father just waited for him. All he needed was one glance back at the kingdom and he was there. And he didn't come back as a servant. He didn't come back with hoops to jump through. Oh no. He was met with a coat, Lord God, and a ring. Hallelujah. A feast and a kiss. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, you've met each and every one of us here today with that. God, it's about now, the moment, right now. Lord, let us see that the things that are behind, may we forget them. Lord, today you're dealing with our hearts, and we just say thank you for your faithfulness. God is love. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood so richly flowed from that cross, that it's all cleansing. And the Father is just looking to see when I see the blood. Praise God for that. May we just rejoice this morning. God, anoint your people. Anoint this word. Anoint this time. Let it be in all sincerity, praise, and thanks to you. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you'd open your Bibles today, we're going to 2 Timothy. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Familiar verse. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing the word of truth. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm not just speaking to Bible students here today. I'm not speaking to pastors and teachers here today. Praise God, I'm speaking to each and every one of us. More importantly, Jesus Christ is speaking to you. He's calling out to you. I've only been a pastor, praise God, for 6 years. God spared me a lot of my life. Come on now. But I'm thankful to God that I was about 17 years old and this verse became real to my life. As a teenager, as a high school student, as a college student, as a brother in Christ in the workplace, he called out to my heart, son, study. Know me. Know how much I love you. And as I mentioned earlier today, this is like my favorite Sunday. Well, pretty much every Sunday is my favorite Sunday. Gathering with the saints. But how sweet it is to pray over these little ones. And thankful to God that we can lift up their parents and pray for them. But brothers and sisters, the Lord placed this sweet verse upon my heart that this pleading that the Lord is saying here in His Word is the most precious gift that we could give to Him, to ourselves, to our loved ones. And I want us to understand here as the Word of God is so sweetly and clearly speaking to us, study. And what this is meaning here is to reveal an earnest heart to me. That's what the Lord wants to see. By God's grace, He just wants sincerity. He didn't say, go show me all your great works. He didn't say, go do this and sell all your goods and all the things to give to the poor and speaking with tongues of men and angels. And where's that brother going? It's all profitless, but for the love of God. Amen. And this is the same call right here, brothers and sisters. He's asking and pleading with us, know me. Know me by rightfully dividing the word of truth. The word of God is vitally important. The word of God is Jesus Christ. This is Him. Praise the Lord. If you have a Bible here today, by His grace, you hold Him in your hands. But by His grace, are you holding Him in your heart? Has He come and taken control and reigning, that this love conversation, this relationship that exceeds and goes far beyond any relationship that we have on this earth, even with our sweet spouses, even with our children. I'm talking about supping and fellowshipping with your heavenly Father and with your Savior, the one who we come to rejoice today. As the little guys, I walked in on a teacher's class today, and she had her arms out like this. And I said, oh, the grandest, biggest hug there's ever been. And it's never stopped. This is how much he loves you. To nail those nails in his hands. And in his feet, in his pierced side. But beyond all of that, to become sin for you and you and you and you. To become the sin for all men. The Lamb of God who knew no sin. Now, brothers and sisters, that's incredible. That is so lovely right there. It's amazing that someone, and not just someone, but very God of very God, would leave heaven itself and save the likes of you and me. And then praise God, after he saved us, after his grace hit you and called you to say, I believe, Lord, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm saved. But even after that, in your failure upon failure upon failure, in your unbelief, yet he abide faithful still. He never left. He can't. You can never be separated from the love of God. He cannot deny himself. He put his life in you the moment that you received him. And thanks be to God, the seed that remaineth. I'm not here to ask you. I'd be robbing you to keep anything. Praise God, I'm here to say treasure him. This is what this verse is saying. Treasure this. By God's grace, keep the word of my patience. Oh, you talk about a love. Brothers and sisters, we have the most attentive Father there could ever be. He always wants the best for us. I'm sad for Christians who think God is this big old eye just watching them, waiting for them to make a mistake. And your Father's just watching and waiting for you to make a step. Come unto me. That's all he wants. And he'll draw you with one thing, and that is with his love. And often his love, I'm going to tell you something, hits you in your greatest of failures. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this week. At least I'll get in the front of the line. And how he does it time and time again. In my unbelief, in my unfaithfulness, he shows me my heart but for God. He shows me those tents of Kedar and how dark and wicked and all of those things that they are. But I'd never see how beautiful the tents, the curtains of Solomon would be without it. Praise be to God. Man, I just rest and have peace in the Lord. I'm thankful to God. The sweet saint called me. I'm done. I'm to the end of it. I don't care how much truth. It's just too much suffering. I'm ready to go. And I said, praise the Lord. The power of Christ is going to rest upon you right now. It is. I'm thankful to Jesus. That's the faithfulness of God. See, you're not done until the last breath. He's got another glory just awaiting. Well, Lord, I thought I achieved it all. Man, you hadn't seen nothing yet. I've got a furnace so big and so hot for you. We're going to go dance in it. But I'm not going to go in there. Oh, yes, you are. Matter of fact, you're already here. That's his faithfulness. Faithful and true is he. See, you're not faithful to go in there. Matter of fact, you're absolutely unfaithful to go in there. But God. But God. Showing you time and time again how much you need him. Praise his name. Brothers and sisters, this verse reveals so sweetly that he wants us to know him. And in his faithfulness, it's all here in the word of God. This is the very heart of God. And we peer into the very heart of God. Matter of fact, the heart of the bridegroom, if you want it, he'll take you all through this. This is your life. The life that you live now, you live by the faith of the Son of God. And faith comes one way, by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, you're trying to live in all of these different ways. Man's thoughts, science falsely called, whatever it might be, pulling at you. Oh, you need a new twist to this. Oh, we got a new thing over here, and this will give you a lot of feeling. Oh, you'll see how incredibly excited people get in here. I'm not concerned about how excited people get in here. I'm excited and concerned about how excited the person gets in here. Amen? Let me tell you something. There's many a still water that run mighty deep. And that's the truth, brothers and sisters. And I am confident in putting my confidence in God by His grace that He's going to move you today. It's not going to be a bunch of people whirling around, but if the Spirit visits us like that, amen. But thanks be to God, that Spirit, He visits in so many different ways. It's awesome. Let's just look to Him. But brothers and sisters, we receive this and start to get into knowing the heart of God, allowing the Word of God to really let us know Him. The good works will flow out. It'll just happen. The transformation will be. I won't have to think about what to do. It just happens. God showed me this many years ago. Son, do you think about your heart beating? Or I got to make it beat. That'd be just crazy talk, wouldn't it now? What about the life of the Son of God in you? How about just letting it live? Huh? You can't do this. We're His workmanship. Remember I talked about earlier today that lump of clay? What does that lump of clay do? It just sits there. It's molded, shaped. And if you'll just be still, even after all the perfect, complete will of God, that's a big thing. I know most would sit here and say, oh, no, that couldn't be. Yes, it can. Not because of you, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, the Lord never minces words. He's always very direct. And it's all in His love. And there's one common theme throughout the Word of God, and it is to know me and specifically know my love for you. Now, I appreciate when the Lord gives me sermons like this, people look into that verse and say, well, brother, I don't see how it says that here. And I say, well, thanks be to God. I was waiting for you to ask. And I'm going to look to Him to show us how, by my Spirit. Now, look at this. It says, study to show thyself approved. Now, let me ask you something here. Did you have to get approved for Him to save you? Think about what I'm saying there. Brothers and sisters, we know that the moment that we accepted Christ Jesus as Savior, we were approved. We were accepted in the Beloved because of the blood of Jesus Christ. By grace are we saved. By grace are you saved through faith. Amen. And it is not a work of yourself. There's nobody in here that can boast. It's the love of God. God so loved, He gave. Amen. And that's where it is. And we draw nigh unto God because of love. Now, in that, brothers and sisters, we can see that there's a flowing, a pattern that He's dealing with us in this verse, that God is searching. God's a searcher. Matter of fact, He's searching for a goodly pearl. And here's evidence of that goodly pearl, that pearl of great price. Earnest hearts. Sincere ones. Ones that are attentive. The Word of God talks about those that are sleeping in the night. That there's a slumber on Christianity today. Going after all these things. And Jesus Christ said, come after me. That's why, as the brother was praying today, that Palm Sunday, that triumphant entry. They were all shouting, oh, the King has come. He's coming to save us. Well, when they realized in their own thought, see, this was their thought that He was basically physically going to save those Jews from all that repression and all of that at that moment. That wasn't what He was going to save them for. He had a far greater saving that was going to happen. We're talking about a saving, praise the Lord, from your sin. And praise be to God. See, what happened was when they didn't get what they thought and what they were looking for to be saved from, a miracle, they quit. And in one moment, it was complete unbelief. Praise God. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly what He's after in our lives. Are we looking for the sensation? Are we looking for the feeling? Let me tell you something. You allow Him to build faith in your life, you'll feel like you've never felt before. You'll have spirit feeling. You'll go out there and you'll love like you can't believe. You'll love that neighbor who's been nasty. You'll love that wicked boss. You'll love maybe that spouse that's been ornery for a long time. When you get the love of God in you, you can't help but love. It increases your love because it's His love. He takes you beyond, far beyond your capability, and you're going to find out real quick that you don't have any capability. The only capable thing you are of doing is failing, of unbelief. People wonder why I preach like that, because I want you to know the truth. I want you to have true hope, not hope in you or any man whose breath is in his nostrils. There is but one, and that's your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And here is His plan for you. Know me, know my love. See, He looked for hearts like this. He was searching for a sweetheart like David, old King David. It said his heart panted after God. He was delirious for God. Now that's the workman, that's the laborer. Not in what David could do, but just in the thanks and the praise that David gave to God. Brothers and sisters, He tells us in the Word of God, it's reaching forth. Praise God, pressing for that mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm thankful that that's set before us. There's more, brothers and sisters. And it's not in us, it's all in Him. It's in His Word. Get into that treasure trove. Let Him light it up. Let Him show you how vast and endless that room of treasure is, the very love of God. Now, as we look at this, though, brothers and sisters, make sure we don't just gloss over this. See, this laboring, this treasure, is in rightfully dividing the word of truth. Listen to the simplicity of that. God wants you to know His Son. See, as opposed to most of the sermons that we hear anymore at Christian churches, and however Christ is preached, I therein do rejoice. But most of the time what we hear is to go out and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I have news for you. I'll take you into the Word of God and show you that that time is not yet. We are to be ready to give every man an answer. When somebody asks you about the hope that lies within you, and I hope that there is hope that lies within you. I hope that it isn't just here on Sunday, but then on Monday, praise God, it ramps up a little bit more. That you know you're in a battle by the grace of God, that you're lights to this world. That the love of God, praise the Lord, it constrains you, that there's a testimony out there. There's churches that are drying up, brothers and sisters, because the love of God is gone. God forbid the love of God leave this place. God forbid that we don't worship Him in spirit and in truth. But sweet ones, I'm telling you, you got to know the age that you live in. See, they're preaching a kingdom doctrine, a time that will be. It's called the millennium. It's when God will take His throne, when Christ will take His throne as God. And in Hebrews 2:8, it says very clearly, that time hasn't come yet. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 8, then it goes on to tell you that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God. It's very specific. The Word of God is true. It's exact. It doesn't contradict itself. It tells you exactly what's going on. And that age is not here. We live in the greatest age. We live in the age called the church age. We live in the age that Jesus Christ and the Father are searching and seeking for a people for His namesake. His namesake. I got a namesake back there. And you know what? I only got one. She's my wife. She took my name. She's my bride. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, these are not just types and symbols. This is what it is. Jesus Christ is searching for a company of saints that really will step out in faith, not in, oh, look at me. No, look at Him. Look what He's done. Look at Christ in me by God's grace. Transparent. That all you see is Christ alone. Those four living ones that you'll see in Revelation in the midst of the throne rejoicing. Hallelujah. Ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. Everything about them is just like the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hallelujah. Jesus Himself coming forth. Praise God. As Paul said, Lord, when You find me, praise God. That means when I'm readied and I'm ready to be with You, may I only be found having Your righteousness. Paul didn't want to get caught with anything of himself in there. He knew that that was just dung. He did. Paul even went on to say, man, I suffered more than y'all. You guys are all over here boasting. You ever get together sometime? I get privileged with a lot of pastors. Sometimes we start shining ourselves. God help us. That's why you got to pray for your pastor. Amen. You got to. Say, Lord, bring them low. Yeah, it's all right. I don't know what I'm saying, but I'm just preaching the word of God. So pray for me. He's lost his mind. But it's the truth. But praise the Lord. Paul saw them all. Oh, look what I did. Look at me. Look at how many come to my church. Paul said, let me tell you something. I labored more than y'all. I suffered more than y'all. But it wasn't me. It was the grace of God that was with me. And he said, and all of that, and I suffered the loss of all things, but I count that but dung. And what did he say? The only thing that mattered, the excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just what we're reading today. The excellency of the knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you see how it all comes together? And praise the Lord, how perfect he is. Know me. Quit trying to find some type of acceptance or approval or favor of me by your work. I showed you what happened with Cain. It was filthy rags back then. It will always be filthy rags. Know me. Know me. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you something here. God wants us to take that seat at the feet of Jesus. I love going back to that sister, Mary. No, not his mom. Wonderful one, too. But I'm talking about the one that sat at his feet and wept before him and washed his feet with her hair and took all that she had to buy those things to profit and benefit him. Huh? Now, brothers and sisters, think about this. Think about this. She wasn't there to elevate herself. She wasn't there to gain cerebral knowledge. She sat in the one and only place to be still and to have the love of God revealed to her. And that's at the feet of Jesus. Oh, yes. See, Martha, all of those, lots of good things were going on. But they passed by that better part, that best place. They went back and forth past there. Matter of fact, ridiculing that sister for what she was doing. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Leave her alone. Don't you touch her. Don't you move her. She's chosen the better place. That sister had a lot of things that ones could run up and down about her life. Oh, but she did this and she's like that. If there's anything she needs to be doing, she needs to be helping right now. Jesus said to all of us today, there's a thing we all need to be doing is worshiping right now. Worship him to getting at his feet. Come on. Come on. You see, brothers and sisters, she was surrendered and weeping. And there's no work of the flesh or a school or a college, or as God calls me to call them sometimes, seminaries. I'll get some emails for that. But it's true. None of that will ever rightfully divide the word of truth in your life. It will not. Just as Brother Paul, and I love this. I just got a, praise God, a wonderful experience the Lord gave me to go over there. And I went to Italy and able to see some of the places where Paul was. And think about how he walked here and walked there. And then I was thinking, well, Lord, I praise God that I walked that same walk on the road to Damascus with him. Matter of fact, that's a college. And brothers and sisters, as the Lord hit me so sweetly as I was out there, the college, if you really want to know him, is the college on the road to Damascus. And you got it right here. See, it's got to be revealed by him. Isn't that wonderful? Not by a church. Oh, no. Not by a committee. Oh, no. Not by an organization that's been here. Oh, we've been here a long time. We got big places you can come worship. We've got all the wealth. Let me tell you something. I've got a father who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And I appreciate it, as the brother says, and all the minerals underneath too. He's got it all. And it's all in one place, and that's in his son. And I'm so thankful to Jesus, brothers and sisters, the simplicity that's in that gospel. And I'm so thankful by his grace that we can preach that. And it's not limited to these four walls in this place. But I thank God that it's here. Because there's becoming a famine for the word of God. People don't hear this simple doctrine anymore. Because people won't endure sound doctrine. But let me ask you something. Do we preach the word of God for the people? Or do we preach the word of God because it's the will of the Father? Think about this, brothers and sisters. This isn't a touchy-feely deal. We go by faith. And the word of God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus Christ, praise the Lord, through Paul told Timothy, Timothy, preach the word. These things have been committed to your trust. My goodness, you've heard a lot of word today, sweet ones. Yeah, you have. You get one thing out of here, praise his name. More valuable than if you could take all the treasure of this world and multiply it infinity. And I'm telling you the truth. This will rust. This will be robbed. This will vanish. Matter of fact, it says in the word of God, heaven and earth are going to pass away. I'm just reading you the word of God. But his word endureth. It remains forever. Forever. All right? See, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Praise be to God. I don't even get worried about that. I know that he's doing that. I saw some beautiful country here. Matter of fact, most beautiful country I ever seen in Italy. And all I could think is walking around here, man, I can't imagine what's in heaven now. I said, these are some of the things I thought might be there. Oh, he wouldn't take even one speck of that up there. Come on. Come on. Now, brothers and sisters, it's love. It's love. And God is love, and this word of God, praise the Lord, is love. So in that, I can do the math real quick. This is a love letter. And I'm going to end it like this. And oh, I was so thankful to think of how the Spirit brought this to my heart. How sweet this was to me. This is precisely, brothers and sisters, this love letter. When it becomes your love letter, it won't just interest you, it'll captivate you. It will. You ever got a love letter in your life? I mean, a real love letter. I had the privilege, thanks be to God, of receiving hundreds of them. I did. Praise the Lord. And only from one. But I received hundreds of them. Because my sweetheart, who now, thanks be to God, is my wife, we lived about 800 miles apart. Before the age of internet, before the age of cell phone delirium, and that's another sermon we'll have next week. But good old post office. I'll tell you, that's a good way to get to know somebody. Sometimes to get to know somebody, it takes time. Internet tries to speed a lot of things up. Be patient. A lot of wisdom in that. Be patient. Wait upon God. Well, we lived about 800 miles apart. God had us to court for 5 years. And I received hundreds of love letters. Now, let me ask you, if you ever received a love letter and it was coming to your mailbox, did you just kind of go out there and get the mail after 2 or 3 days? Huh? Well, if that was the case, that wasn't a love letter. I can tell you right now. When you're expecting a love letter and it's coming to that mailbox, you're kind of insane. Giddy, I think, is the word. You jump off the bus or out of your car and you run and pretty much accost the mailbox. I said, in there. And then you shake down the mailman and you tell him, where's my mail? No, you don't do that. That's probably why they get a little excited over at the post office. Oh, that's bad. Sorry. But you're excited about it. You want that letter. You want to read it. And then once you got it, did you just read it once and throw it on the shelf? I believe you probably ripped that baby open. Amen. I can honestly say by God's grace, I still got mine. They're hidden from my children. But I think they find them. I don't know. God help us. But I read them so many times, I could tell you what they said by memory. And every one of them said, I love you. Do you know every one of us here have the love letter from the first love? You got it. And he's just waiting for you. Not for you to open it, but for it to open your heart. I know you know Jesus. I do. I'm so thankful you know him. As Savior, as the Lamb, how wonderful. But do you know him as the lover of your soul? The lover. That's when it will become passionate. That's when it will become interesting. That's when it will become something that, Lord, I know this is my life. Matter of fact, it says in the Word of God so sweetly, I'm not just saying these things to be fluffy here today. It's the will of the Father. I would that all men be saved and come unto a full knowledge. You look at that wonderful word, knowledge, I will tell you again and again of the truth. A full knowledge, an intimate knowledge, an exact, a complete. That's the will of God for you. It's not just for a pastor, for a teacher, for when you get to be a certain age and, my goodness, you're at home a lot, so you might as well do that. It's now. Jesus is pleading with you now. And as the Lord gave me this, I'm confident. I can see it. He sparked a lot of hearts here today. He always does every Sunday. That's his job. But the question is it going to really start a flame? And then by God's grace, are we going to allow him to stoke that flame to where it just increases? Brothers and sisters, today I just plead with you as the Word of God. Receive the grace to know him. Receive the grace to study, to reveal a heart in you that, Lord, I'm earnest. And he's ready. Do you know he's sitting right in that pew next to you? He is. He's everywhere. But most importantly, he's in you. And he's just pleading, come unto me. Come unto me. Don't be distracted anymore by the things of this world. I'm your lover. I'm your lover. And one day, someday, you'll open this book. And a smile will hit your heart like never before. And you'll be able to praise him and to say, I am my beloved's. And his desire is toward me. How many times are we going to go to the mailbox? Huh? When are you going to start opening them up? Bow our heads. Father, we thank you. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we appreciate Jesus so much. Father, thank you for such a passionate love that you have for us. Thank you, Lord, that you saw in ages past as you spoke to that sweet son, it's not good for man to live alone. God needed a family and Jesus needed a wife. Lord, thank you that we know this. Lord, thank you that truly we can smile today. God, let it be our passion. Lord, if there's ones here today hearing this for the first time, thank you. And Lord, it's not something that's confusing. It's just evident. He gave it to us even in our natural lives. That man, we're born of God. We're born human beings. We'll never be any more human than the moment that we came out. Hallelujah. Taking breath. Hallelujah. Human, human, human. But Lord, you want us to grow up. And thanks be to God, really the ultimate, if we really know it, the treasure in a life. And I pray for these young people getting into relationships and different ones that have gone through relationships. God, help us to understand that that spouse, he that has found a wife has found a good thing. She's more precious than rubies. Praise God that you even say that your glory, Lord Jesus, is your bride. Wake us up. What an offering. What grace. We give you the praise, honor, and thanks today. Move hearts, God. Move us into the depth of your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.